true. Okay.
The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Juskowitz?
7:35.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 5th of 2017. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board. They are the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. And posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Juskowitz, will you please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. Demerly. Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mrs. Miller.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. Olowski. Mrs. Rattle-Goda.
Here.
And Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Here. Thank you. Mrs. Miller, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy, would you please serve as the process guardian for tonight's meeting?
Certainly.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and students, and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, March 13th of 2017. And actually, I feel like with the impending weather, I probably should have started with good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, January 13th, and not so much March 13th. So welcome to our monthly board meeting. Tonight we will be recognizing student athletes from our Clinton Township Middle School who participated in fall and winter sports. On behalf of the Board of Education, I would like to welcome you and your coaches to the meeting this evening, and as well as Mrs. Hammond, the school's principal. This evening, the Board of Education will conduct its usual monthly business with its three committees. That includes the Facilities and Finance Committee, the Personnel Negotiations Committee, and the Policy and Curriculum Committee. And towards the latter part of our meeting, we will also have a presentation of our ad hoc committee report looking at the feasibility of closing a school. In addition, this evening, Dr. Gina Villani, our Superintendent of Schools, and Mr. Juskowitz, our board business administrator and board secretary, will present to the Board of Education and to the public our preliminary budget for the 2017-18 school year. When their presentation is over, the Board of Education will ask any questions on the presentation to Dr. Villani and Mr. Juskowitz. And during the first public comment section on agenda items only, the public may also ask questions of Dr. Villani and Mr. Juskowitz regarding the budget. The Board of Education will then move on to other business of the board this evening. And at that time, the chairperson of our Facilities and Finance Committee, Ms. Alyssa Olowski, will present her report for her committee, and she'll also move a resolution, which is action item 17FF190, which will be the resolution looking for approval from the Board of Education to accept the preliminary budget for the 2017-18 school year. If the preliminary budget is accepted and approved by the Board of Education tonight, Mr. Juskowitz will then submit it to the Executive County Superintendent of Schools. Upon his approval, the board will then hold on April 24th, 2017 at 7:30 in this same room, we'll hold our annual public hearing on our budget. The budget will then be presented once again to the public as well as to the Board of Education, to which we will then vote to approve the budget that evening. And once we approve it, then it will be cemented in for us for next year, and we can begin planning for the following school year. So without further ado, I'd like to move on to the report of our Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Villani.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome our students and their parents to our board meeting this evening. We are going to have a brief presentation by the captains, and I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Ruge and Mr. Helmstetter.
Okay, thank you. Just quick introductions of myself, Mr. Ruge, and this is Mr. Hamstetter, the co-athletic coordinators at Clinton Township Middle School. And we just want to take the opportunity to make tonight about all of our athletes that are here representing the sports teams. We wanted to thank everyone also for their continued support, and hopefully you can share our success this season with their athletes and, you know, children at home. These students are fine examples of what it takes to perform both on and off the field. We see this every day. These players usually put in a full work day at school and come back it up with a second work day from 2:30 to sometimes 6 p.m., sometimes later. Many students then go to travel league practice following their school commitments, and we just wanted to make this night about our athletes, and we wanted to say thank you to those who also participated in our Central Jersey Junior School Athletic Association. The athletic teams we play against consist of Warren, Somerville, Montgomery, Hillsboro, Franklin, Branchburg, Warren Hills, Ridge, and J.P. Case Middle Schools. Our 2016 fall and winter sports teams consisted of girls and boys cross country, girls and boys soccer, girls volleyball, boys and girls basketball, and cheerleading. So we're going to introduce the teams. We'll have the coaches stand up and come on up, and then we'll have a representative from each team come up and share a little bit about the season. At that time, we'll have the team stand. We'll say thank you to that team, and we'll move on to the next sport. So if we can have Rose Mastriani and Patricia Conley, who are the coaches for this year's cross-country team.
My name is Brian Pedretti, and I was a captain on the cross-country team this season. So the 2016 cross-country season had 60 runners on the team who competed in both home and away matches. The boys' team finished second, and the girls' team finished third in the league. 10 girls and 10 boys went on to compete in the meet of champions. We all saw continuous improvement throughout the year and look forward to a great next season.
If everybody on the cross-country team could just stand up, please. Our girls' soccer team this year, and our representative from the team speaking is going to be. Come on, you guys
can. Hi, I'm Christina Shore.
I'm Kate Brissette.
And we're from the girls' soccer team. So the girls' soccer team had a very fun season this year. Our team had 3 wins, 8 losses, and 3 ties. The girls scored 19 goals and led up 33 goals to the opposing team. Our girls are rebuilding their team and look forward to a great season next year.
Our biggest highlight of the year was when Ms. Jacobson took the girls' soccer team to get ice cream on the way home.
I had a chance to coach the boys CTMS soccer team this year, and we'll have representatives from the boys team come on up, please.
My name is Eric Rush, and I was one of the captains for the boys' soccer team. The boys' soccer team had a record of 4 wins, 5 losses, and 4 ties. As a team, we scored 26 goals and led up 28. Our team rebuilt key concepts and look forward to a great season next year. The biggest highlight of the year was when previous CTMS soccer players came back to cheer on our team with no shirts on.
I was the coach of the girls' volleyball team, so two girls come on up, Annie and Melody.
Hi, I'm Melody, and
and we were the team captains of the girls volleyball team. We won the SJJAA conference with 15 wins and one loss. We scored a total of 450 points and moved on to win the league playoff. We had a great season, and we wish the seventh graders good luck in their upcoming season.
Any of the fall athletes, volleyball, boys soccer, girls soccer, stand up. Give them a round of applause. On to our winter sports. We'll start with cheerleading, which was coached by Mrs. Howe.
I'll say a few words for Mrs. Howe. Mrs. Howe was our coach this year. It was she reintroduced the cheerleading team back to CTMS this year. Her team showed great leadership. They had tons of excitement and school pride at both basketball games and also the Relay for Life. It was great for a great year for our team, getting the chance to represent our middle school, and not only cheerleading, but in all aspects of good sportsmanship as well. So thank you, Mrs.
Our girls basketball team, which was coached by Ms. Lindaberry for the seventh grade and Ms. Wendell for the eighth grade. Andy, come on back up.
Hi, I'm Annie Schumann, and I was one of the leaders for our girls basketball team this season, and this is KB, our great general manager for our basketball team. The girls basketball team competed in the SJJSAA conference and held our own. Our team had a successful season and gained more confidence as the season went on. Our team saw tons of growth throughout the season, and we wish the seventh graders luck for next year. We will miss our coaches so much, and it won't be the same without them next year.
And the boys basketball team, I coached the eighth grade boys basketball team, and Ms. Comerford coached the seventh grade boys basketball team, which will be represented by Aiden Finn.
I'm Aiden Finn. This is Connor. Okay. What is it, Finn? Okay, so the boys basketball team competed in the CJJSAA conference and competed at a high level. We played in the A division against tough teams, and we learned what it takes to compete against players who we've seen in high school. It was a great season to learn and develop as basketball players.
All players from any cheerleaders, boys basketball, girls basketball, please stand up. Again, in conclusion, like Mr. Ruge said, we're definitely here to recognize these athletes and all the time and effort that they put in. It's important to note that since this school started for 9 years, we have a very strong school spirit and good sportsmanship, and these student athletes help continue to grow the athletics family, and we would love for them to come back and share their experiences. We'd also like to thank the Board of Ed and the parents, all these athletes, for all their help. Very proud of our athletes who represented our fall and winter seasons here at Clinton Township Middle School. One more time, round of applause. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the Board of Education, I would just like to say a couple words to the student athletes, to the parents of the athletes, as well as to our wonderful coaches. I have a very unique situation where I get to watch all of you, okay? I get to watch cross country, I get to watch soccer and boys soccer and girls soccer and boys basketball, girls basketball and volleyball. And on behalf of the Board of Education, I want to say how proud we are of you. No matter what circumstance you guys faced throughout the year, whether it was pouring outside and you had to run and it was windy, there were no complaints. Whether you were outmatched on the court or on the field, it didn't matter. You still worked hard and represented well. Whether you played better than someone else, far and above everybody else, you still represented yourself, your families, this community, and this school district at a level that we can only be so incredibly proud of. So I want to thank you for being such a wonderful group of student athletes to represent this community and your families and the school so well. So I just want to say thank you, and you guys should be really proud of yourselves. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the parents. Not only did I have a unique opportunity of watching all of these children represent our school and our community, I got to watch you as well. And we do not have one of those parents in our community. We have parents who are incredibly supportive of our children for their effort. You know, I can go to a cross country match and every single CTMS parent is not only rooting for CTMS runners, but they're also rooting for our opposing runners. We have people in basketball watching basketball. If someone makes a good shot or makes a good defensive play, applauding that as well. So what we see from your children on the court is a true representation of who their parents are, and they are an extension of who you are. So I want to thank you as well for bringing this community such wonderful children. Thank you. And then lastly, and then I'll be quiet. My kids are probably going, stop. I know. To our coaches as well. The children that represent us on the court, on the course, on a field, are extensions of you as well. And so no matter what happened, whether it was good officiating or questionable officiating, whether the field had grass this tall or the court was really tiny and skinny, or the field had rocks and divots in it that the kids had to run on, you always provided them with a very positive atmosphere, let it go and play on. And so the way they represented our school is a credit to all of you, and I would like to thank you for everything that you've done for them. Thank you.
I resonate Mrs. Grant, Ms. Grant's sentiments as well. Thank you to our students for putting forth effort every day, not only in your academics, but then moving out onto the field or the course and giving it your all as you're doing that. To our parents for supporting them. It's not easy to have to follow them around and get them to different events and fields and activities, but thank you for all you do for them as well. Again, to our coaches for supporting our students. Everything should come back to them. But I'd also like to extend a thank you to Ms. Hammond and Mrs. Cohn for supporting the programs within the middle school, and to Mr. Helmstetter and Mr. Ruge for coordinating the athletic events for each season. Both jobs are not easy feats for the two of you as you're trying to go through your day and daily activities and coordinating everything else on top of that. Thank you, and again to Ms. Hammond and Mrs. Cohn, same thing. You're trying to run a building in an academic program and you're following through with the athletics as well. So thank you very much.
So I guess this is the time where I say to the students, you probably have some homework to do, so you probably can get up and leave for tomorrow.
And just before you go, one more announcement. There is no school tomorrow. Thank you for coming.
Move on to the report of the superintendent of schools.
Where's the other guy? She wasn't tired of listening to you. Can you hear me over them? We're okay? Okay. Second item, our enrollment report. To date, we're at 1,349 students. That's of March 1st. I am happy to report that there's no suspensions since the last board meeting. And for those of you who are present at the February board meeting, we had a presentation from Mrs. Steinheimer regarding the consolidated monitoring that took place in November. As a follow-up to the presentation at last month's meeting, we are required to report out on the corrective action plan that we need to submit for to the state. As a reminder, we had 6 program areas that were identified and 3 fiscal areas. Through the state's process, the 6 program areas are not required to have a corrective action plan written, but the 3 fiscal areas are. So I just wanted to briefly go over that with you this evening. The corrective action plan will be on the district's website, I'm going to say by Wednesday at the latest. Wednesday at the latest. Sorry, it's Monday. But just to go through, as a reminder, there were 3 areas. The first area was that students' names were included on vendor invoices for purchase orders for out-of-district placements. Mr. Juskowitz and his staff have since been in contact with any of those out-of-district schools that have been putting names and asked them to identify students by ID number only, following a similar practice that we follow in district. The second fiscal item that was identified was that certain board-approved policies and standing operator procedures were either out of date or in need of revision. We are in the process of switching from one policy program to another in district, so it's been a few months of moving through different policies. And Mr. Juskowitz was easily able to provide to the monitor the document. It just was not accessible on our website at the time, so we did lose points for that as well. He has also since updated our standard operating procedures for the business office. And then our third item was that on a number of occasions, our district seem to have purchases which are called confirming orders. A purchase was made prior to a requisition or a purchase order being submitted. That was strictly from our preschool program for items that were needed in the program. And again, that has already been corrected as well. So just those 3 items, the corrective action plan will be posted on the district website, along with the presentation from last board's meeting from Mrs. Steinheimer, as well as the actual document we received from the state. Following next are my brief monthly report. I just want to update us on some items connected to the schools. During the first week in March, and that was last week, I believe, yes, it was Read Across America on March 2nd. Students in pre-K through 6 celebrated Dr. Seuss's birthday with a number of activities in their buildings. Staff members throughout the district were involved in the festivities, whether participating in classroom activities or reading to students, they were throughout. Dr. Grief, our interim director of curriculum, wore her cat in the hat outfit when reading to some of the students in the different buildings. And we also had a central office staff member who shall remain nameless, who dressed in a full cat in the hat costume and visited many of the classrooms at Round Valley School. I also had the honor of judging the door contest at Round Valley School, and I can tell you it took quite a while. It was an extremely difficult task. We have really fantastically talented students and staff members, so it was not at all easy, but even for those who did not win one of the places for the different categories, everyone really did a fantastic job. So thank you to all those students and staff. The Hunter County Libraries Association has an awards program each year. The organization gives out reading awards to students in Hunterdon County who exhibit an enthusiasm for reading, sharing books, and using libraries. This year, 2 students in our district have won that award. I'd like to congratulate Arbin Husseini in first grade in Mrs. Jaw's class, and Rachel Beilenberg in fourth grade in Ms. Black's class. There will be a reception to honor both students and all of the students from other districts in the county on May 24th. On Tuesday, March 7th, we were honored with students in 2 different buildings. At Round Valley, our Block 5 Lawfare students won 2nd place in the New Jersey State Bar Foundation Lawfare competition, and our Period 1 Grade 8 students took 2nd place for their category as well. So great job to both groups of students. And just a reminder, the Drama Club presentation, Honk Jr. Visuals tonight will take place Thursday, March 16th, Friday, March 17th, both of those shows at 7 p.m., and Saturday, March 18th at 4 p.m. So please come out and join us for one of those shows. And then we went out of order. And now, as before we get to mine, you want to do your
turn. Yes. So I'm looking for an action item, please. I'm looking for a motion, please, on action item 17SU017 to action item 17SU20, please.
Motion.
Alyssa, second. Any questions for Dr. Villani this evening? Now, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Ronald Golden.
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And now Dr. Villani and Mr. Juskowitz will present the preliminary budget for the school year of 2017-18.
Thank you.
Before you get started, I should share with you that
you just got it now.
The children are announcing school closing faster than you do with your school reach.
I'm sorry, I wasn't fast enough. Sorry.
You're a little late, Tim.
I have to take it when I get it.
Thank you.
But with that, well, I'm sure we'll hear that our message will get out then. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us this evening for the preliminary budget hearing. As a reminder, for those of you, if you weren't here last month, when we have a new format for a presentation, so as we go through, we're going to talk about what we want the audience to get out of the presentation for each presentation that we go through. We're going to talk about the objective, and then we're going to go into the presentation. So tonight, we hope that you get from this presentation what is included in the Clinton Township School District budget and what the implication is to the taxpayer. And again, our objective is to present a clear and accurate overview of the Clinton Township School District preliminary budget. We are going to go through tonight's budget highlights, then some tax levy information, and finally, specific details of our budget. I'm going to start this evening with budget highlights. We're going to talk about them in three specific areas: curriculum, instruction and technology, programs, and capital improvements. And before we get into the details, I just want to talk a little bit, at least about my philosophy and hopefully the district's philosophy on specifically the first bullet item, because I truly believe that feeds into everything we do. We, as a district, we need to have a solid curriculum, but we also need to know and have the resources to instruct appropriately. And then from there, we have to have technology, and what's not listed here, but we're going to hear about more under program, is professional development. It all fits together. If we were to provide any one of those pieces without the support in the other areas, we're not going to be doing what's best for our students. So we can write the best curriculum and not provide the teachers with the materials they need, the curriculum is not going to work. We can provide teachers with the materials and not provide professional development, and it's not going to be the best we can do for students. So as I go through the budget highlights, and I just want you to understand how I view this, to me it's a full picture. So it's not about just writing curriculum or just providing materials and putting them in a classroom and then not thinking about it anymore, but how are we writing curriculum? How are we piloting and getting the best materials for that curriculum in our classrooms for our students? How are we then training our teachers to use those materials appropriately in the classroom and to best support their learning? And with those materials, I would throw technology into that as well. So to me, it's about the whole picture. And if we were just highlighting any one of these areas, we wouldn't, at least in my opinion, be doing what's best for kids. It has to be about the whole picture. So first, in terms of curriculum, instruction, and technology, as you're aware, education is constantly changing. And We're always looking at different curriculum, different instructional materials. Standards are always seem to be changing, so we're always rewriting curriculum. And technology, pretty much, by the time we walk out of here tonight, something new will be out there for us. So it's important as a district for us to be able to stay on top of all of those changes while providing our students with the resources they need. With that said, each of these three main bullet items really fits into that idea of change, some of which is pushed down from the state to us, and some of which is district-driven so that we can help support students. The first item I'd like to talk about is the one-to-one initiative. As you may be aware, during this school year, we piloted a one-to-one in-school initiative for 7th and 8th grade students. Through that pilot, there absolutely were some hurdles, but there were some really fantastic things that came out of it as well. And through that evaluation of that process, we have now decided to push the one-to-one in-school initiative to grade 6 for next year. So Mr. Jaw will be working with Mrs. High, Mr. Connolly, and our teachers at Round Valley School to help get them prepared now and moving into the spring for initiative rolling out just in September when school starts. The academic impact of increased technology in the classrooms, we've seen an increase in student independence. We've seen a change in how teachers are planning and implementing their lessons. And we've seen really just a new excitement from our students and our staff as they're using these new tools to go through their day. I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank Ms. Hammond and Mr. Jaw, and of course, all of the teachers at the middle school. It hasn't been an easy feat, and as I said, there were hurdles to overcome, but the teachers were really great about working through them. Mr. Jaw and Ms. Hammond were constantly meeting with students and getting feedback so we continue to make our programs better. And it's, I believe, because of that we're able to roll it out into sixth grade next year as well. Next-gen science standards for K-8. You'll see that this has unfunded mandate next to that. Just for clarification, an unfunded mandate is something that the state tells us that we are required to do, but they do not put any money behind it. So they told us that we had to change our science standards to match the next-gen, which is what the state, next-generation science standards, which is what the state adopted, but did not provide any resources for us to do that. So that has to be something that is absorbed in the school budget. Connected to this, just a brief overview, the next-gen science standards are really written around three dimensions. One is cross-cutting concepts, which is connecting the different science domains. So how are we connecting earth, life, and physical science with engineering, all within each other? There's a second component to this is science and engineering practices. So what are the students actually doing to investigate in their classroom? How are they investigating their lessons, and what are they doing to have that real hands-on instruction and get the deeper meaning for their activities? And then disciplinary core ideas, which are the key ideas in science, and their broad importance, not only how they apply specifically to the classroom, but how do they apply to our world on a more global basis. So with this unfunded mandate of next-gen science standards, we have been in the process and will need to continue to write curriculum appropriate to the standards. And as part of that, we have to purchase and implement materials, again, appropriate to our curriculum, and provide professional development to staff members with that as well. Our final bullet on this slide, curriculum materials. Two areas that will go together. The first bullet, expansion of classroom libraries, is geared more towards students, and the second, mentor text, more towards teachers. We in our district utilize Readers and Writers Workshop for English language arts instruction. As part of that instruction, students learn how to choose books that are at their just right level. We need leveled readers in the classrooms. Teachers are using mini lessons to really get to students, and students are learning at a differentiated level. With that, it's important for us to have a number of classroom libraries, a number of resources in the classroom at various levels. So for any student that's walking through that room, they have the opportunity to pick up a book that's at the appropriate level for them. Whether it's their independent reading level, or it's a level that's going to, their frustration level, it's a level that's going to give them a little bit of a challenge in their work. We want to make sure our classrooms are outfitted with enough materials. So we are going to continue to expand our classroom libraries in our buildings. Connected to that, mentor texts are materials that help the teachers teach the content within Readers and Writers Workshop. So whether it's a mini lesson or some other activity, the teachers will use mentor text to specifically align with certain titles of books to help them roll out the instruction to the students as well. In terms of programs, I just want to highlight athletics and professional development. As you saw here tonight, we have really fantastic athletics program for a middle school, for a K-8 district. It's really thriving. Students are actively involved, and they're eager and willing to come out. With that, we've found that our athletics program has been building a larger sense of community, that our student athletes are not really the only athletic participants. So besides our specific athletes, we have students who want to come out to events. Students are excited to stay after school to see what's going on. We have students, as you saw, the team manager who was here tonight. We have students who are scorekeepers at events. So it's not only about the kids who are on the court or on the field or on the course, but it's about the other students who are involved to make it run as well. So we want to make sure that we're supporting that and highlighting that. There are areas in this budget where we're going to help enhance some of those behind-the-scenes activities in athletics. We are adding scorekeepers. We have student scorekeepers in volleyball and basketball. We're adding money into the budget to have adults help support them so that it's not about the students sitting at the table and being talked to by the coaches on both teams, but there's an adult with them to help not only support them as they're scoring the game, but to give them advice and guidance and support and instruction as they're going through that practice. Secondly, we have added adult supervision for spectators. So we have a number of students who will stay after school at different events, and we felt that it was important to make sure we have certified staff here with them to support them while they're cheering on their friends in different games and activities. To go to professional development. Our teachers give us 6 days of professional development each year, and we work hard to make sure that that professional development not only hits the very long list of state mandated trainings, very long list, we could spend all the days just on that, but we try to incorporate ways in which, as I said before, we can provide our teachers and our support staff with the information that they need to best support our students in the classroom. This comes through our curriculum instruction initiatives. I've spoken about many of them this evening, whether it's Next Gen Science Standards, Readers and Writers Workshop, supporting all of our areas, math and social studies, but also supporting those other areas that are not the content. So how are we supporting our unified arts teachers? How are we supporting our child study team members? And making sure we're really hitting all those areas, our teaching assistants, and providing them with something that's appropriate for them. Not just having them sit in a room and attend a session because that's what is required, but really giving them something that's meaningful. And we're going to continue to work through that next year. We have money in the budget for consultants from an outside and for coaches, specifically for Readers and Writers Workshop. But we also hold a number of in-house sessions. I want to make sure that we highlight that it's not just about going out. We have a large amount of expertise in district. And whether that is through teachers who are either strong or in an area or have a large area of interest, or even some of our administrators who are always willing to provide professional development for the other teaching staff. I want to make sure it's clear that it's not for us just about going out and hiring someone to come in, but using our internal resources as well to provide what's best for our teachers. In terms of capital improvements, I just want to touch briefly upon school security. We have a number, again, even with this, a number of mandates from the state that we are required to follow. The State Department of Education has a school safety and security department, which comes out and does surprise visits in district. And we were lucky enough to have one of those visits in January. Right, Ms. Hammond? So we did have a surprise visit in January. They bring in representatives from the state, representatives from the county. They brought a state trooper with them. They had local police, and they come and watch us do different things in our buildings. So it was an eye-opening experience. I'm happy to report that we are on the right track and doing exactly what we need to do to make schools safe for students. We want to make sure that we're staying on top of the technology and the resources and continually improving that. We've made a number of improvements in the district over the past few years, and we are definitely going in the right direction. We want to have a plan in place, though, to continue to support best practice in school security. And just like many of the other areas I've talked about tonight, that is constantly changing, we want to make sure that we're on top of that as well.
Good evening, everyone. I wanted to continue on with the latter part of this, is the building improvements. Over the next probably few years, we're going to be looking at replacing windows in the district, primarily over at the Round Valley School. It's going to be a process that's going to take a few years in order to get that done, since funding is an important matter or fact of the whole entire situation. So we're putting together a plan to look at doing those and replacing them, for some of them are single pane. Some of the work that we've done around here of looking at building envelopes, of looking at and making sure that the roofs are capable and they're supported and pretty much working well, that they're not leaking or anything of that nature. We just completed having all four buildings repointed to make sure that there aren't any water that's getting into the building at this point. So that's one of the steps that we're moving with as far as a building improvement. Second thing that we're going to do is we're having the Round Valley School, which was just repointed. That building is going to be waterproofed so we don't get water into the building. And lastly, we're looking at doing some brick repairs here at this building. Although the building's 9 years old, it still needs looking after, and we're going to be doing some repairs with this building in the upcoming year.
In terms of feasibility of closing a school, probably about a little over a year ago, the board was committed to putting a committee together to really look closely at this to see where we are and what we needed to do. At that time, a presentation was made to the board, to the public from the board, stating that at that point in time, it wasn't reasonable to close a school, wasn't feasible, excuse me, to close a school for both the 16-17 school year, the current year, and the 17-18 school year. But they did commit to reconvening in 1 year to, again, look at where we are and where enrollment is. There will be a full report later this evening from Ms. Grant, but just to follow up, the committee has met and will continue to meet. The costs that you see here are associated with the next steps of the evaluation of possibility of closing a school. We want to make sure that while we're committed to doing the research and getting the data, we're also committed to funding what we will need to fund to be able to get that full picture.
I'd like to go over some of these areas of where we had some budget increases during developing this budget. Healthcare, that is our health plans that we have. We budgeted about 12% for that, and that 12% represents $214,750. Same thing with our prescription costs. That we're told to increase or budget 10% of an increase. That equates to $90,243. General insurance is going up roughly about 6%, and that's equating to an additional $8,500. Again, we have our utilities going up about 2.5%. That is equated to $15,000 extra in our budget. Pension costs, every year all school districts have to pay pension costs for their public employees. Those employees include custodial, maintenance, and also secretaries. Those we've been funding ourselves over the last several years. This represents a 13.5% increase with those costs, and that equates to a $30,000 increase in our budget due to that. Also, professional fees, some of which you just seen in the last slide. We're using some of these consultants. We have attorney fees in here. There are several things that we're looking into in closing of a school. Thus, those are the reasons those professional services are increasing. You just seen also with the last slide, the $100,000, which Dr. Villani had just explained. And lastly, we're putting money aside to enhance, I shouldn't say enhance, but to improve upon our security here. As Dr. Villani alluded to, technology is forever changing, and we want to keep up with those changes on keeping our children safe and secure. Areas where some of our decreases have come, we don't have three children that will be going out of district. They are actually moving on to the high school. That equates to savings for the district into the tune of $295,000. Also, we have the reduction of four full-time equivalent positions here in the district. That is saving $230,000 in salary. Also, we are having more transportation efficiencies at this point. There's some of the routes, of course, we're losing some students and our enrollment is going down. Thus, that equates to a $64,000 savings for the district. Also, this should be dental costs. Those are going down. Our consultant had brokered for us the dental plan. Any premiums not increasing, but decreasing. So that was a good thing for us, and that was helped to offset some of our increases that we had in our health benefits. Next, we have some breakage from two staff that are retiring, and we were able to reap $24,000 with those two individuals that are retiring. We've had a decrease in instructional supplies. Thus, again, we have students, enrollment is decreasing. Thus, the decrease in the instructional supplies for the students. And lastly is debt service relief. Back several years ago, there were some referendums that had gone on well before my time that was here. Those referendums, whenever they're voted upon by the voters, if there's money that's left over and not spent, that money goes back to the taxpayer by statute. And I'll be getting into that a little bit more with my tax rate analysis. Here you have salaries, required spending, and variable spending. I try to put this in better detail for you to see that 70 last year and between this year, 77 to 79% of our spending is all related to salaries and benefits. With our variable costs, that includes curriculum and instruction, professional development, general supplies and textbooks. That represents 8% of our spending out of our budget. And lastly, we have required spending. That has insurance, transportation, special education spending, professional services, maintenance, state mandated special ed, professional services and evaluation systems, state assessments, and unfunded mandates such as preschool. That is what represents our 15% last year and 13% for this upcoming budget. With that being said, a lot of this, there's not much flexibility when it comes to the budget, and the flexibility comes in the area of the 8%. That is where most of our flexibility comes, because most of the other things, as we see, salaries and benefits, those are things that you need in order for keeping the school district running. And with the 15%, with those required spending, it doesn't leave much in the way when it comes to having to reduce a budget. That represents our flexibility. Our tax levy is going up $364,981. This represents the general fund budget. And that equates to a 1.49% increase. By law, we're supposed to keep our spending or increase the tax levy only up to 2%. That is the max that we can go. We are not going there. We are down at 1.49%. One of the other things I wanted to point out, and this is what I just described earlier, was about the 391 from a prior referendum. With the referendums that was voted upon by the voters, since we're giving back the $391,000 back, that is going to overall decrease our tax rate since we're giving money back to the taxpayer. That represents a 1.8% decrease. I've tried to re-summarize this in this slide, where you have the dollar increase, which I spoke of earlier, of $364,000 being a 1.49% increase. That is our general fund spending. Then we have the debt fund tax levy, where the $391,000 is going back to the taxpayer. So overall, it's going to represent, if you have an assessed value of a home at $397,000, you will be seeing a dollar decrease in your taxes from this past year. So again, taxes for the municipal, the school portion tax is going down basically by a dollar if your home is assessed at about roughly $397,000. Here we just have an analysis of what our school spending has been. It's been at a minimal over the past 3 years. This year, due to some of the increases that we had from consultants and looking at closing of a school, salaries and benefits going up, We are increasing our budget expenditures to the tune of $368,000. Now, considering that our budgets, as you see, are $26,000, it's kind of a minimal amount, and it represents 0.013% of the budget. Here, we just give a basic overview of where majority of the revenues come from for our budget. Majority of those are for the local, or is from the local tax levy. That represents 85%. And the remaining amounts are state aid, tuition, federal aid, surplus, and we use our own surplus to stabilize the tax rate every year. And lastly, other is bank interest and rental fees for our facilities. This year, our state aid remained flat. We had no increases nor decreases in our state aid, which the state gives us. And actually, the governor had touted that all along, of keeping it at a flat rate. Our next steps, March 21st, the preliminary budget is sent to the county office for approval. April 24th, as Maria Grant had said earlier, we'll have our public hearing on the budget. And when we have that public hearing, the budget will be printed for your viewing pleasure in the Democrat, which will be on Thursday. I believe that's the 20th. Hopefully, after reviewing this entire presentation, you are able to answer these two questions. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz and Dr. Milani. Do any board members have any questions for Dr. Milani this evening? Mr. Malloy?
Yeah, I have a few, so I apologize if folks can bear with me. So thank you for the presentation. Very informative, Dr. Milani, Mr. Juskowitz. A couple of quick questions, and my math might be wrong, but if we look at the slide showing budget increases, it's page 5 on mine, so that would probably make it slide 10. I'm adding up increases of about $633,000 when we factor in healthcare, prescription, and so on. The following slide shows decreases that I total at $1.054 million. So my overriding question, and then I have some lower level questions. If decreases outpace increases, can you just explain for the general public that delta?
These are just the general overview of the increases. This is not an exhaustive list of all the increases.
Okay. So, okay, great.
We just highlighted the major ones at this point just to bring them forth.
Gotcha. Okay. And then if I look through, can you explain the difference between the initial budget and the amended 16-17, the revised as of 131? There's an initial and amended in our books. The column to the far left shows revised budget column as of 131.
Oh, he's talking about.
I'm talking about my budget workbook. And the reason I ask is there were some expenses. I just want to confirm that they were one-time expenses that were paid out of reserve because they look like.
Oh, okay.
This column versus this column.
Right. Oh, okay. So everything over in this left-hand column?
Yep.
So that's the revised budget in the 16-17 year?
Right. So I guess I saw some stuff outside of budget, and it looked like it was mostly for supplies and improvements. These were paid out of reserve.
Which ones are you referring to?
I don't want to get too granular, but I can send you. It looks like there was some maintenance and upkeep that exceeded budget. There were custodial supplies that exceeded budget.
Some of the things that we do, we have a maintenance reserve and cap reserve.
That's what I'm asking.
Those usually transferred over from those accounts brought into this budget.
Right.
And every time when I do that, it's always through a resolution.
Correct. Which, to follow on to the logical conclusion, is why we have the reserves. Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Milani or Mr. Juskowitz this evening on the budget? No? So we need this and this.
Actually, I have one question. Can you resend this to us so that we could have a color copy?
What is that?
A color copy.
The presentation?
Yes.
Sure.
And when it goes on the website,
right,
we'll make sure that's in color as well.
Yes.
Any other questions? No? Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that the member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions asked at the podium this evening and answer them at the end of the comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach your microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I just had a quick question about where in the budget, and I'm sure it's been answered before, but I know we are is the middle of negotiations between the teacher union and also the administrators. Where is that money either kind of put, or is it something that should be in the budget that I'm just wondering about where it is, because I know those are coming up and all that. So thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
Yeah, William Glaser, 35 Pine Rush Circle. I appreciate the presentation tonight. It was much.
Could you just repeat your name?
William Glaser, 35 Pine Rush Circle in Beaverbrook. I want to thank the administrator and the superintendent. Much more comprehensive presentation than prior years. Much more intelligible. Appreciate the work that's gone into that. But, and there's always a but, as a taxpayer, I'm disappointed with the reduction in taxes. I understand the rationale, but it's not lost on the community that our attendance has been way down over the years. The per pupil spending continues to go up, and I believe this budget implies it will continue to increase. I would urge the board to reject this budget tonight, ask the administrators to go back with a sharp pencil again, and go for a full reduction. All the debt reduction has been offset by increases, and that's not acceptable to the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Okay, seeing none. I'd like to now open the floor to our public comment section. First, recognition of the public. The parameters that I just detailed on the public comment section on agenda items only will apply to this section as well. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach your microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to move on to the reports of our committees. I'd like to start off with facilities and finance. Ms. Zolkowski is our chairperson. Ms. Zolkowski, can you please give your report?
You skip the BA?
Oh, the BA.
Yeah, I could always come back to that. Oh, good. We'll do the BA, it's fine.
Okay.
We'll do the BA.
The date of the Board of Education's next regular scheduled meeting is for Monday, April 24th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. And that concludes my report.
There you go. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 17BA-027.
Motion.
Mitchell, second, please.
Second.
Yohara.
Oh, Yohara.
Not me.
And then Kathy. Any questions for Mr. Jesput? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Rattle-Goda?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Need to abstain.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
I need to abstain on the executive session minutes, BA 27.
Mr. Malloy?
Abstain on 27.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff? And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Now to Facilities and Finance.
Okay, good evening, everyone. The Facilities and Finance Committee met once since the February board meeting, and we have 12 action items this month. First, you just heard the preliminary budget presentation from Dr. Villani and Mr. Juskowitz. So with that, I would like to make a motion for action item 17FF-190.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. Vanderoff. Roll call, please. Any questions? We already had that. But any other additional questions?
Just on 190. Yeah,
just on 190 for now. Okay. Emma, I want to table this now. Can I table this at the moment and check on the Can I table this now and check on the We'll check the numbers before we vote. So I'm looking for a motion to table 17FF190. Looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. McLaughlin, a second, please.
Second.
Second. And roll call, please, to table.
Thank you. Okay, ready?
Nope.
Oh. Have a roll call for us.
Roll call.
Mrs. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Rattle-Golda?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back to that one later in the meeting.
Okay. So moving on to the rest of the report, aside from the payment of monthly bills, there are a few items that I would like to note. There are several reimbursement requests for seminars, conferences, training, and graduate courses. There are also several requests related to home instruction, tuition for out-of-district placement, and various consultant approvals. There is a send-receive tuition contract agreement between CTSD and the Lebanon Borough School District. And last but not least, CTSD received a NJSIG safety grant for $11,900. With that, I would like to put forth a motion for action item 17FF186 through 17FF189 and 17FF191 through 17FF197.
Looking for a second, please.
I'll second.
Mr. Malloy? Any questions for Ms. Olowski, please?
Two quick questions, Ms. Olowski.
Yep.
FF192, the consulting agreement. Is that a one-time or an ongoing? And
this is for the feasibility of closing the school, and I'll review that in a few seconds. We talked about that.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant. Yep. And then the other question I have on 193, we have 11 district staff members participating in a CPR course.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
What's the displacement of these 11 staff members between our buildings?
They're mostly middle school.
Okay.
Connected to coaching. Those different pieces.
But at least one in each building, I'm guessing, right? There's already certified in each building,
yes.
Correct? Yes, that's what I thought.
BERT teams.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Now, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Rattledota?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our Committee of Personnel Negotiations. Ms. Vanderoff is here. Ms. Vanderoff, may we have your committee's report, please?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Personnel Negotiations Committee met one time since our last board meeting. And on tonight's agenda under Personnel Negotiations, we have only seven agenda items. So please draw your attention to agenda item 17-PN-159 to 17-PN-166. The first agenda item relates to a disability leave of absence for a CTMS teacher's assistant. Another item relates to an amendment of a prior motion for a Spruce Run School custodian's pay scale. One agenda item requests approval for 10 observation hours of two teachers for a college student. And another agenda item relates to the employment of a new lunch and recess aide at Spruce Run School. One agenda item relates to approval for two staff members to coach boys lacrosse at CTMS. And finally, the last two agenda items request approval of five staff members for an hour of HIV training. With that, I'd like to ask for a motion for approval of agenda items 17-PN-157 through 17-PN-165.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Ms. Vanderoff? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Rattledota?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes, but I'm going to abstain on 165, please.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to our Policy and Curriculum Committee. Ms. McLaughlin is chair of that committee. May we have your report, please?
Yes, the Policy and Curriculum Committee met last week. We actually discussed several items, although we're only bringing forward two items this week. So you can refer to your committee notes to look at the other things that we discussed. We have a second reading of the Special Education Regulation and Policy, and we also have an opportunity for a free field trip for our students that's coming to us from the Raritan Valley Community College at no cost to the district. So I'm going to move two items this evening, Action 17-PC-040 and Action 17-PC-41.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Rattledota?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to the report of our ad hoc committee for the feasibility of closing the school. The committee moved forward with work on this project. We've asked Mr. Gagliardi and we commissioned him to begin analysis of our district staffing. He is also beginning work with the state and putting a timeline together so that we can meet all the requirements to begin closing school. And with that timeline, he's also contacting the state to make sure that he works hand in hand with the state to make sure all those tasks are being met in a timely manner, as well as done the correct way the first time the first time we go about doing it. Tonight, Mr. Malloy brought up, we voted to hire Dr. William Libera to conduct our cost study and the final feasibility of closing a school in our district. Dr. Libera has been a public educator in New Jersey for more than 37 years. He has served as a New Jersey Commissioner of Education, superintendent. He's been a principal, a high school social studies teacher. And he recently completed his work as the presidential research professor at Rutgers University, where he served as the executive director of the Rutgers Institute for Improving Student Achievement. Dr. Libera has worked with the national consulting firm Hazard, Young, and Atea as a search consultant. He also provides boards of education with expertise in strategic planning, goal setting, and various types of feasibility studies. Dr. Barra will be in district next week to begin working with us as we assess our schools for their final capacities and consolidation. So that is my report tonight relative to the ad hoc committee for feasibility of closing schools. So we are moving forward. I'd like to move on right now to old business of the board. Does anyone on the Board of Education have any old business they would like to bring up this evening?
I just want to say that I had the opportunity to go to Round Valley and read to two classes for the Read Across America celebration, and it was great. I mean, the kids were, you know, overjoyed at having the parents come and read, and the doors were amazing, especially the Round Valley art teacher. So thank you for the invitation.
In all fairness, the art teacher was not included in the competition because his door yeah. really was fantastic. But so he gets honorable mention every year yeah. because it just would they do it by category. So there was a fourth grade winner, a fifth grade. I'm sorry, I didn't bring it with me, the Unified Arts. Mr. Jaw, though, they did decorate their tech door as well, and he also received an honorable mention for his door.
Oh, I didn't see your door. So, one question, did we post any of the pictures of the doors on the website?
I think in Ms. High's
okay.
newsletter.
Well, I know they were in the fun facts, but for families that don't have kids and maybe are interested in seeing some, can we put some of the pictures up? At least maybe there's the winners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Any other old business? No? Okay, seeing none, any new business on the board?
So one quick item, since it's a sports theme night, it's not necessarily related to the school, but the Clinton Township 5th and 6th grade girls rec team, made up entirely of Round Valley students, had to play in the Flemington Raritan League this year. They won the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
and took a beating while doing it.
Took a beating while doing it, but won the league.
It was rough.
It was a physical final. It was a lot of fun. But they're proud of all those kids, great school. So, there you
very
go.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
I have one thing. I just wanted to make a plug for the penny auction. The seventh graders will be putting on the penny auction March 24th right here at Clinton Township Middle School. It's a great opportunity to come win some prizes and support the students. All of the proceeds from the penny auction go to the eighth grade class. It helps to purchase their yearbooks and have a field trip at the end of the year.
Thank you. Any other?
Since she did a plug, can I do a plug as well? I know that it was already discussed that the honk presentation is happening this weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th. There's a ton of seats available, so if you are interested, please go online. The website is available that you can purchase the tickets from. There's plenty of seats. Akasha, my son, is Mr. Turkey. So please come out and support him and the rest of the cast. They've worked really hard, and it's wonderful production. So if you have that opportunity.
Anyone else? No? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to the second recognition of the public. Once again, the parameters I laid forward for the first recognition of the public with agenda items only apply here as well. We'll be limiting this section to 20 minutes. If you'd like to address the board, please come up, state your name and address at the microphone. No? Seeing none? Then what I'd like to do is, I'm looking for a motion for a 15-minute recess, please.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
I can just do all in favor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, we are at recess for 15 minutes, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in session. I want to apologize to everybody in the audience tonight. We were a little bit longer than we thought. We had trouble getting into the software. It was a little remote issue. So once we got into the software, we checked our numbers. Resolution is correct. And so what we're going to do tonight is we will correct the presentation to reflect the resolution. My sincere apologies, no excuses on our part. And then tomorrow afternoon, as long as the snow and the weather doesn't, you know, prohibit things from going across the lines electronically. We will have this in color presented on the website tomorrow. If you should have any questions as a result of the presentation after you look at it relative to the resolution, please send Dr. Villani an email. Can we set up an email CTSD budget?
It's done. We have budget at ctsd.org.
Okay, do you want to say that again?
There's, if you have budget questions, there's an email set up. It's budget@ctsdnj.org. Your budget questions can go directly there.
And then this way we can answer any questions, and if we've caused confusion this evening, we'd be very happy. So once again, on behalf of the board, I apologize for that. I would like to read the resolution just to make sure it's very clear what we're voting on tonight, and so that anybody in the audience as well can hear what we are voting on. So I have action item 17FF-190. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following resolution adopting the 2017-18 tentative proposed budget. Be it resolved that the tentative budget be approved for the 2017-18 school year using the 2017-18 state aid figures, and the Secretary to the Board of Education be authorized to submit the following tentative budget to the Executive County Superintendent of Schools for approval in accordance with the statutory deadline, and to advertise said tentative budget in the Hunterdon Democrat in accordance with the form prescribed by the State Department of Education and according to law. And I'm not going to read the whole chart here, but the chart's available. Everyone should have a copy of that. I'll continue by saying, be it further resolved that a public hearing be held at the Clinton Township Middle School Auditorium, 34 Gray Rock Road, Clinton, New Jersey, on April 24th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of conducting a public hearing on the budget for the 2017-18 school year. Whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education recognizes school staff and board members will incur travel expenses relative to and within the scope of their current responsibilities for the travel that promotes the delivery of instruction or furthers the efficient operation of the school district. And whereas NJAC 6A:23A-7.3 et sec requires board members to receive approval of these expenses by a majority of the full voting membership of the board and staff members to receive prior approval of these expenses by the superintendent of schools and a majority of the full voting membership of the board. And whereas a Board of Education may establish for regular district business travel only an annual school year threshold of $1,500 per staff member, where prior board approval shall not be required unless this annual threshold per staff member is exceeded in a given school year, July 1 through June 30, and whereas travel and related expenses not in compliance with NJAC 6A:23-7.3 et sec, but deemed by the Board of Education to be necessary and unavoidable as noted on the approved Board of Education out-of-district travel and reimbursement forms. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education approves all travel not in compliance with the NJAC 6A:23A-7.3 et sec as being necessary and unavoidable as noted on the approved Board of Education out-of-district travel and reimbursement forms. And be it further resolved, the Board of Education approved travel and related expense reimbursements in accordance with NJAC 6A:23A-7.3B1 to maximize expenditure of $85,000 for all staff and board members. Looking for a motion, please, for action item 17FF190.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second, Ms. Miller. Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Rottle-Voda?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Would you please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during executive session, whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administration Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into the executive session.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Malloy? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Thank you.
Nice.
Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meetings reconvene. Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.